Bless the Lord. Good evening again, everyone. And we are so glad
to be here
this evening to worship and to praise the Lord and to give him glory, because he is God, and beside him there is none other. So wonderful testimony that we have heard tonight. And tonight indeed is a testimony night. And when you think of how effective these testimonies are to those who listen, it speaks volume to the fact that Jesus is alive, and Jesus is well, and Jesus is the best job. Bless the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about testimonies, because we want to look on the testimony of the Apostle Paul. That is what we're going to do tonight. And the portion of scripture that was read to us from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 17. We will not have enough time to go through everything, but at least we're going to try to look on the main points here tonight as we look on the word of the Lord. So glad to have so many of you out here on a Tuesday night. It is always a good thing to realize that you have purpose to be here. There are other things that you could be involved in, but you choose to be here, and we are glad to have you. Bless the Lord. The topic I would like to speak on tonight is the testimony of a convert sinner. The testimony of a converted sinner. You will see here from the first verse which was read that the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, he being locked away, but in prison, he wrote this letter to Timothy. Timothy, at this point, was responsible for the church in Ephesus. And Timothy came across challenges from those who were not only without, but some of those who were within, in terms of not adhering to the name of Jesus, raging opposition to the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul heard and thought it necessary to write to young Timothy, encouraging him that in the face of all these different challenges, he must be steadfast in his conviction and his belief. And he's going to use himself, the Apostle Paul, he's going to use himself in this letter to convince young Timothy about the reason why he should be steadfast. And I believe tonight, all of us who are here in this meeting, we need this assurance in our own spirit.
Despite
all that the enemy is trying to put against us, we need to have this assurance in our own spirit that what we have committed unto Jesus, he is faithful to make sure that it remains intact until his appearing. We need to be convinced in our spirit. And when I listen to the testimonies tonight, they speak to that. They speak definitely to that very fact, that what has been committed to the Lord is holding fast. And I bless God for that.
Amen. Amen.
But the apostle would have it here in the first verse that was read, that the first thing that he said here is that he is giving thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank him. What is he thanking him for? What is he thanking him for? Why he's speaking so forcefully right here? He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Yes.
He said he thanked the Lord for giving him such a position that he holds. And of course, you know that the apostle, he was an apostle. He was numbered among the apostles. And so he sent to young Timothy and a letter which would be read, that he is giving God thanks for the mercy that has been bestowed upon him, to the extent that he is now qualified and called out to be a servant of God. Why is it that he put himself through all of that to make that statement? Well, the next verse answers it. The next verse, which is verse 13, this is the verse that he, that caused him to write to young Timothy and to tell him that some of those folks who are in opposition to what he's ministering, he himself was in that position. So verse 13 tells us, who was, and he's, the Apostle Paul now is speaking of himself, who was before a blasphemer. Remember, he had just started out by saying, I thank God for showing mercy upon me and causing me to be a minister. And then he went on to say, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an unjust injurious? But I have obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. What a statement to be made by God's servant. You see, one of the things that we are seeing through the scriptures here is that the apostle is not afraid to identify his past.
Yes.
I believe in America and in the world in general, one of the things that you're going to find as you witness for the Lord Jesus is that everybody is a Christian. Everybody is a Christian. But the word tells us the Lord knoweth them that are his. There are others who will tell you that they are not sinners as we portray it. In other words, to be called a sinner in some quarters seems to be offensive. The Apostle Paul is not shying from the fact that he was a sinner. And he explained the type of sin here that he used to commit. He said that he was a blasphemer. He said that he was a persecutor. But apart from being a blasphemer and a persecutor, a blasphemer in the sense that he speak opposition to the Lord Jesus. He did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And therefore, he did everything contrary to what Jesus stood for during his time. Some of which we are going to deal with in a little while as we hear his real testimony before the king. And so he was purpose in getting authority from his superior to go and lock down Christians wherever he could find them. And not only that, he was a persecutor in the sense that he is the here to make sure that all Christians punish. Because the person who they call the Messiah is not the Messiah. And that is the man called Jesus in his thinking. And therefore, he was aggressive in carrying out this practice and this behavior. And he called himself a blasphemer. Very strong word, a blasphemer. And this word here that follows up a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, this is not a word that you're going to find everywhere in the scripture. It is rare that you see such a word in the scripture. What is it actually saying? It is saying that as much as the man was a blasphemer and the man was a persecutor, he did it in every possible way for it to have maximum effect, for it to hurt. In other words, this word is grouped with the word disdain. He did it in a disdain fashion, with contempt, hatred, so that the maximum effect will be felt to those who embrace the Lord Jesus. And so as a result of all of this, he went about making sure that every Christian must come under pressure because they are embracing the name of somebody who is an imposter talking about Jesus. Jesus is not who he say he is in the eyes and mind of the Apostle Paul. And so when he said to young Timothy in writing this letter, he said, look, those people who are opposing your doctrine, I can speak to what they are doing because that's where I was. That's where I was. But I have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. I have obtained mercy. And not only mercy, but the Lord has shown mercy to me to the extent that he made me a minister of his. And there are many people here tonight. There are many people in America tonight who at one point or the other might feel that as to whether or not Jesus is whom he's supposed to be. But I'm saying to all of them who oppose, even though the name of the Lord, I am glad that God is long-suffering. I am glad that God is patient. I am glad that God don't wish for any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The Apostle Paul experienced that for himself. And he went on to say to us in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with fear and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He was saying that Jesus was filled with grace, was filled with faith, was filled with love to the extent that that affected his life and changed him for the better. And so he's going to conclude here, this section of it, in verse 15 by saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hallelujah. Let that sink for a minute. Let that sink for a minute. He is saying to young Timothy, this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation. It is worthy to be accepted. that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. Again, he intends to debase himself. He knows not only say that he is a blasphemer and a persecutor, but now he's saying, I am the chief of all sinners. Of all sinners. And believers, the reason why we are having a meeting tonight is that somebody might be listening that the word of God need to reach and to tell that person or those persons that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. One like you, one like me. And nothing is wrong if we consider ourselves as the chief of sinners too. Because we have sinned before God in different ways. We have violated the laws of God. And God wants to save us. Jesus looked on Zacchaeus. After he ministered to Zacchaeus, in Zacchaeus' own house, in Zacchaeus' own home, the gospel came to Zacchaeus' house. After Jesus finished ministering to him, the man got up and the man said, if I have taken anything from anybody, falsely, I restore unto him fourfold. It came from a heart of deliverance. He was delivered. He was the chiefest of sinners. He was hated in the community. But he found love in Jesus. And he declared that if I have committed anything wrong to my fellow men by robbing them, I'm ready to restore unto them fourfold. Listen to what Jesus said. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. That is how the Lord Jesus replied to Zacchaeus' confession. That the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us in John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saving grace is what Jesus brought. And the Apostle Paul did not realize that at first. But when he discovered the mercy that God has shown to him, he confessed and said, this is a worthwhile thing, and it is worthy for everybody to accept it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. And so he declared himself as the chiefest of sinners. He was not afraid to confess that he had wronged God. He was not afraid to confess that at one point he was on the wrong side of God. He was not afraid to confess that he did not see Jesus, the name of Jesus, as carrying the weight and the authority that Jesus has. Because all he was seeing was Judaism. And he was making sure that he defend Judaism. But when he discovered the truth of the gospel that he is now saying is worthy of all acceptation, he discovered that the name of Jesus means a lot more than what he thought. It is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. So after his conversion, which we will look on in a minute, we find that the Jews, his whole countrymen, decide to take him out, decide to oppose him, because he is now on Jesus' side. He is now preaching Jesus' gospel. And his own countrymen choose to take him out. And they dragged him before the king for a trial. That is King Agrippa. They dragged him before King Agrippa for a trial. And listen to what happened there. Acts 26. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. And I'll make a few remarks as I go on, because we have a short amount of time tonight. Acts chapter 26. And let me read from verse 9. Listen to what it says here in verse 9, Acts chapter 26. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was giving his defense before King Agrippa as they dragged him before the king for trial, to say that this man is preaching something new, which he ought not to be preaching. He's speaking about things that is contrary to Judaism, and therefore he must be silent. And they dragged him before the king. And listen to the testimony of a converted sinner. Listen to what he said. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Before he was converted, this is what he was thinking, that whatever he does, there must be contrary. There must be in opposition to the name of Jesus. He was telling King Agrippa that that is where he was. And at that time, he and the Jews were friends. He continued in verse 10, which things I also did in Jerusalem, the things contrary to the name of Jesus. He is now telling the king that he did them in Jerusalem. What are those things? And many of the saints did I shut up in prison. He is confessing these things that he did before conversion to the king. How much he hates the name of Jesus. Like many people around us today, hate church. Hate the name of Jesus. Hate the things that you stand for as believers. The apostle is giving this testimony before the king. And what beautiful testimony we heard tonight from God's people. And he continued, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Listen to this. It seems to be that in the mind of some people, it was only Stephen that the Apostle Paul had consented to put to death. But we are seeing now from his own words, he uses the word they. And when they were put to death, that is in verse 11, in verse 10, I beg your pardon. And when they stress the word they. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them as a persecutor. He oversaw the death of many Christians before he was converted. No wonder the man described himself as a blasphemer. No wonder the man described himself as a persecutor. No wonder the man described himself as the chief of sinners, as he gave this testimony. Verse 11, and I punish them off in every synagogue and compel them to blaspheme. Compel the Christians. He compelled the Christians to blaspheme. He is giving his whole testimony here. This man had blood on his hands. He compelled the Christians to blaspheme. He is giving his testimony here. And being exceedingly mad, can you see the rage, the passion by which this man was operating? Every Christian were in tremendous danger as a result of this brother. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecute them even unto strange cities. He drove them out to different cities, not just Samaria, not just Judea, but in other cities. He followed them with the intention of grabbing them and bringing them back to Jerusalem to cast them in prison and to execute some of them. This is the testimony that he is given before the king. And the king sat there on his throne with all the people listening to him. And then he is going to show the mercy of God. And this is what makes it so compelling, saints. You know, we read in Luke chapter 18, Jesus himself gave the picture to us. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other one was a publican. The Pharisee, as he started praying, he said, in fact, the word makes it clear by saying, he said he prayed within himself. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. That is how started this prayer. Adulterer. And the word, and a number of other things that he mentioned there. And then at the end of that, he said, even as this publican, the man standing beside him. And then he started to tell the Lord the different things that he does. This man would not even as much as accept that he is a sinner. Because this self-righteous attitude is one that we have seen in America. Where, as I said to you, everybody feels that they are Christian. A self-righteous attitude. But listen to the humble spirit that the Apostle Paul discovered as he gave his testimony before King Agrippa. The other man standing beside the Pharisee in the temple, when he listened to the prayer of this Pharisee, realizing that he can't measure up with the things that the guy have just said, all he did was to say, he smote his breast. He would not even as much as look up, but with his head hanging down, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said he went to his house more justified than the Pharisee For he that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want you to listen to the apostle as he gave his testimony before King Agrippa, where he changes now from what he used to do, and he pivots to what God has done. Hallelujah. And I want to say to everybody here tonight, I trust, especially you who have not yet committed your life to the Lord, I trust to God that the humble spirit that the brother here is displaying after meeting the Lord, that spirit will resonate in you so that you can behold the beauty and the splendor of who Jesus is, because he's long suffering.
Amen.
Listen to 12. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The name that you disdain, the name that you blaspheme, the name that you persecute the saints for, Jesus is saying, you did not do it to them, but you were doing it to me. I am Jesus. So many times, you witness to people, and instead they have a good word, they start to tell you some things about the church. They start to run in opposition of the church. And they start to run in opposition about you too. But I want to remind all of them tonight that they are not speaking ill against you or the church, but they are speaking ill against Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Jesus said to him, but rise and stand up on thy feet. Verse 16. For I have appointed thee for the purpose of to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus, after the encounter of telling him that over this period of time, you have been persecuting me, but because of the long suffering of the Lord who watched him operate in this vein for over a period of time, the time came when Jesus said enough was enough. and he met him. The blasphemer met the Redeemer. I don't know if you are here tonight. But all this time you have been putting off, you have been opposing, you have been encouraged by so many people, people in the church, people in your family. And yet still you are holding out on Jesus. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I trust you are here tonight. And the testimony of the Apostle Paul is reaching you tonight to show you that you cannot be that far gone that Jesus can't reach you. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. You cannot sin enough that Jesus can't forgive you. And I trust tonight in the spirited meeting that we're having, especially coming out of those testimonies, tonight will be the night for somebody to change their lives for the better. I read two more verses, two or three more verses. Verse 19. Whereupon, O king, this is what he's saying now to the king. He gave his testimony about his own bad actions. He gave his testimony about the mercy of Jesus. Now, he is telling the king about why he was dragged before them. Verse 19, whereupon, O king, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and them to the Gentile, that they should repent and turn to God, and to work, and do work meet for repentance. And I read this last verse, friend, verse. For this cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. That is what he said to the king. That's why he is standing before the king, as he gave his testimony before the king about his relationship with the Lord. And he was not shy to tell the king about his own transgression before God. My brothers and my sisters, we are having church for a reason. We are having church because the Lord wants us to preach this gospel. The gospel of forgiveness. The gospel of repentance. The gospel of deliverance. The gospel that men need to be saved. The gospel that men need to turn from their wicked ways before God. Because the Apostle Paul himself speaks to us in Acts chapter 17. When he said, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness and judgment. Where will you be when that time comes? Where will you be after listening tonight to what the Word of God has said? Where will you be? Now it tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, and be found in the fashion of a man. He humbled himself unto the cross, even to the death of the cross, whereby God has given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you are white knee or black me, whether you are rich me or poor me, whether you are American me or Jamaican me, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Peter tells us in Acts 4:12 that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul opposed that name for a period of time until Jesus met him. The blasphemer met the Redeemer, and the rest was history. I'd like to pray with somebody tonight. All you have to say, pray for me, Pastor, that my life will be changed, as the Apostle Paul did. Here, his life was changed for the better, because the testimony of a converted sinner speaks volume. Pray for me, Pastor, that my life too will be changed. Are you here tonight? Father, I thank you. Thank you for the testimony of your servant, the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the testimony of the believers tonight. Tonight is indeed a testimony night. And the awareness and the consciousness of who you are and what you have done and what you stand for still speaks volume to us tonight. I worship you and I glorify you to know that you are still mindful of us. And you are merciful, and you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I look to you for somebody, or some people, persons here, who are contemplating as to whether or not they should ask for forgiveness, ask for mercy. I look to you that as the Holy Ghost work on that heart, those hearts, a change will come and they will discover you before it is too late. Thank you, Lord, for tonight and on a night of witness where the name of Jesus was exalted.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you continue to be with us.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.